You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike Exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn-find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall President and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
You know, my mother is probably rolling over in her grave when you say, Howden, like, welcome, show number 156. I'm cutting out a little bit there.
Yep.
And I like to point out our flaws, JR.
Yes,
so.
I know. But it's very important.
Listen.
Alert the audience.
We're human. There's something to listen for, and it's not correct. Show number 156. Steve, how many cars do we have in inventory right now?
940.
938. That's the best guess you've had so far.
I'm just going to keep guessing 940.
Well, eventually that will be so, I guess. We have a very special guest on the show today. Boy, her title reads like the resume that I would love to have. Mm-hmm. Her name is Lynn St. James, and her resume says racer, coach, mentor, speaker, ambassador, and pioneer. Lynn, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Ah, we finally did it.
Yeah, this is a morning of challenges. Yeah,
I think it is. But you know, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. So
yeah,
I think they are actually everybody's doing it. There's more podcasts and shows that you see anymore because, as we always talk about, it's cost effective to do it nowadays. You know, 25 years ago you couldn't do this, but now. Modern technology allows us to talk to you, and you're all the way across the country, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona right now.
Yeah, I love that part of the world. I love Phoenix in January when we are at the auctions back in the day and at 7 o'clock in the morning drinking a cup of coffee, looking at the Sonoran Mountains. That's as good as it gets, right?
Yeah, you know, I lived in South Florida for 25 years, and so, you know, I really do love, you know, I love beauty. I love nature.
Sure.
The beauty of nature. And people always thought I was a water girl, which I do. I love beaches. But I realize it is just the beauty of nature, and there is nothing. The desert is something about, I can't even explain it. It
right.
took me a while to really love it as much as I love the beaches, but I do love it. I mean, there's just I love the big skies. I don't know.
Yeah.
The colors, it's just lovely.
It really is. And what part of South Florida did you live in?
I lived in Fort Lauderdale for about 25 years, and then I moved to Ormond by the Sea up by Daytona.
I love Ormond by the Sea, and you could get Wally wings at Hooligans up there, which were the best wings on the planet. We used to love to go there. So that explains the Preston Hen connection of driving for T-Bird Swap Shop. Living
oh
in
God.
Fort Lauderdale. I know.
Yeah.
I deep dive.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Of all my things on my resume, that one doesn't pop up. So, that does explain that. I mean, to be honest, this is my fifth. I'm celebrating this year, as a lot of people actually are, I think. But I'm celebrating my 50th year in racing.
Wow.
And I started in 1974, had moved to South Florida from Ohio, went to the 24 Hours of Daytona in 1972. And I'm like, I'd never seen road racing before.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I'd gone to the drag races. I'd done some drag racing. I'd been to the Indy 500.
Right.
You know, I'd gone to Painesville Speedway and, you know, the dirt races. I mean, I'd
right.
seen a little bit of racing in Ohio and the Midwest, and of course, Indy being the, you know, the granddaddy of them all. But I'd never seen road racing. I'd never been to Mid-Ohio. I'd never been to any kind of a road race.
Right.
And I went to Daytona, and I'm like, oh, my God, these people, you know, A, they're just, the car just keeps going and going and going. You have the ability to go in the garages and walk up and down pit lane. And I ended up staying there the whole 24 hours. I sat outside in turn one through the night with my blanket and my cooler. I told my husband, he said, I'm going back to the hotel. I said, you go back to the hotel. I'm staying. And I fell in love with racing, you know, and realized that real people did this.
Sure.
And so that's how I got started. Yeah, I went then became a member of SCCA and found out you had to go to competition school to get your competition license so that you could race. I thought, oh, I could drive fast. I got lots of tickets. You know, I go out there. So I learned, you know, all the things you don't know.
And right.
To this day, I'm still learning because the sport changes. But to lead into Preston Hen, you know, had the swap shop down there, which was, of course, historical all over the country.
Yeah.
And it was, this was about 78, I think. So I'd been racing about 4 years and had gone to Daytona and Sebring, and, you know, those were the big races.
Sure.
And I really wanted to be in them, and found out that he wanted Bonnie, his daughter, to race at Sebring. And he had a 1969 Daytona, Ferrari Daytona, and it was 1 year, one more year it would have been ineligible, because at that time cars had to be less than, that was before historic racing,
sure,
before the people were collecting all these cars.
God.
And I'm sorry to make the story so long, but you asked, so you brought it up. And anyway, so he wanted Bonnie Hinn, his daughter, to be in the race, and he decided that if he put an all-female team together, he might be able to, I guess, get the promoters to actually, because I don't even know if she had a license.
Right.
And so he got Janet Guthrie, and so I wanted to be that third driver. And that's when I met Janet Guthrie, actually.
Oh, really? Team. Wow.
Yeah. We finished the race, and I turned the fastest lap in the car. That during the race, it was at the 11th hour. God, I loved it.
Was it hard to drive? Was the Daytona tough to drive, or was it pretty easy?
Yeah, but I had raced my husband's Corvette, so I mean, you know, he had a B production Corvette, so you know, it wasn't any harder than that.
Sure.
I mean,
was that the Sanyo car that you raced of his Corvette?
Yeah. God, I want to. We got to talk to her. I didn't know you do all this stuff.
Well, you know, I'll be over for lunch in a minute. So, you know, the Sanyo car, I love the livery on that. That was great. Yeah. That was a cool looking car. And, but you know, Preston Hinn was an interesting guy. If you've never been to the swap meet that he had down there, it's not really a swap meet like you expect it to be. This thing is massive. And he had a collection of Ferraris that was spectacular. I mean, and he was a country boy. I mean, he was just a good old boy in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I pulled one on him, which it's one of my prouder moments, because I didn't have any money, you know,
right.
So he's like, what could you bring? You know, like, I don't have any sponsors. I don't have any money. And so I talked to my husband, and he said, cause we found out that the size tires on the Corvette were the same for the Ferrari Daytona. And so we had a whole bunch of used tires that John never threw anything away. So
right.
We had them in the shop. He said, well, tell him that you'll bring tires. So I told him I'll bring tires. And of course he assumed they were going to be new tires.
of course.
And because we lived in Fort Lauderdale, you know, it wasn't that far from Sebring. So these tires showed up and he was livid. And I knew Leo Mel, not real well, who's
sure.
the head of Good Gear Racing. And I went over and I begged Leo. I said, Leo, please. I didn't know about making appearances at that point, but I said, I need a set of new tires, you know, for this. And so I convinced him, and Leo was such a good guy.
Right.
And I think also because Janet was on the team, that gave us some, you know, power. And so I got one set of new tires and a whole bunch of used tires.
Well, you brought something to the table, right? That's what he was looking for.
Not quite what Preston was expecting. And he's, you know, he's a wheeler dealer. You know?
Sure. So. Well, anybody in this flea market business, I imagine, is. You know, and there's so many characters in this sport. I mean, you've met so many wonderful people racing. And did you have idols or mentors back in the day? Was there somebody that you said, I want to emulate, male or female, that I wanted to emulate?
Well, I mean, there were a number of them, actually. They didn't know they were my mentors. In fact, I was just talking to Hurley at the Rolex in at Laguna Seca.
Sure.
I mean, what I would do is watch who's winning, and then I would look at why. You know, why are they winning other than just talent?
Sure.
But, you know, it was almost always preparation. It was always that, you know, they were the first ones in line to go out for practice. You'd go by their, you know, by their pit area or whether, you know, in the garages or on the pit lane, they were clean. They were organized. It was the Penske way.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Penske clean.
Yeah. And so that was the beginning. And, you know, you'd look around, very few would even be that way. Most of the people were thrashing and cars weren't really ready. And, you know, sometimes you missed a session. And so it would, and then I, you know, so Peter Gregg was definitely a high on my mentor list. I had one conversation with him. And I remember he told me that the only sponsor type deal he ever could get was when he met somebody on the first class on an airplane. So he told me I should fly first class.
I love that. Be where the money is, right?
Right. Never thought about that. But so most of the time it was really watching people who were successful and talking to them, introducing myself to them. I mean, that's how I got to drive a 935 at the open test day at Daytona.
Wow.
Because I went up and introduced myself to, you know, to Whittington's. I mean, you know, it was just, I don't want to say, I guess I was pretty bold, but I was also respectfully bold.
Sure.
And I was always there. I made sure, and this is what I advise others, you know, if, even if you don't have a, you don't have a seat, you don't have a ride, go there, be there. And just be present,
sure.
You know, and ask intelligent questions and be respectful of what people are doing. And you'd be amazed at when people will actually share with you, what they know or what they've got or, you know, how they got what they got. And I think that that's just served me well all my life, actually. So.
Well, I think if you meet anybody in any genre famous, if you treat them like a normal person and ask the same kind of questions you would ask anybody, then they're going to, it's respectful. It's not, and you don't interrupt them in the mid bite of their spaghetti and meatballs either.
So. Well, yeah, timing is always important, you know,
sure.
And to study, I would read, I mean, I used to, you know, read National Speed Sport News and I would get names out of Chris Economaki's column.
Yeah.
And then I would look for pictures. Because I said, you never know who you're standing next to or, you know, who, you'd be in the elevator, you know, coming into a hotel or something. And you, I mean, that's how I met Mike Helton. I mean, guy's
sure.
bigger than life, you know. Hi, Mr. Helton. You
yeah.
know,
I'm
like, so, you know, it's and then to know how to introduce yourself. I mean, it's some of this is pretty common sense and basic, but it's not magic. But people are sometimes overlooking those things.
Well, and you have to sell yourself in a way. I mean, you have to have something compelling to say about yourself. And if you don't, you probably should have never said hello to them in the first place.
That's true. We in my driver development program, I would actually make the drivers introduce themselves. I make a long line, and if they didn't have the elevator speech and they couldn't put out their best accomplishments in a very respectful and almost humble way, they had to go to the back of the line and do it again until they could, you know, just spit it out.
I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that because, you know, if you're a race car driver, you're going to get interviewed. So when we return, we will be back visiting with Lynn St. James and learn some more about her history in the racing world and what she's doing these days. We'll talk to you in a couple minutes.
You are invited on a safari at Classic Auto Mall on a search for animals. Look closely and you might see a tiger, jaguar, and a cheetah or cougar as they try to catch a herd of impalas. And don't forget the wild mustangs and broncos, plus gazelle, rabbits, and rams. Ho, ho, ho. Instead of the zoo, you'll want to do your animal watching at Classic Auto Mall. It smells better, too.
Questions or comments? Contact us at podcast@classicautomall.com.
Call J.C. Taylor today for a competitive quote on collector car insurance. Give your most prized possessions the attention that they deserve. You'll receive agreed value coverage, giving you the peace of mind to know you're always protected. J.C. Taylor has been supporting the hobby with reliable service that has lasted for 6 decades. Call 888-ANTIQUE or visit jctaylor.com/awr to get a quote today. That's 888-268-4783, or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, with our friend Lynn St. James, racer, coach, mentor, speaker, ambassador, pioneer. Man, that's a resume. I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, we would be remiss in not talking about one of my favorite events that you are heavily involved in, and that's the Chattanooga Motoring Festival. My goodness, have they built a great event in a short period of time down there?
So true. You know, the first year I went, I missed the very first year. I was invited, but for some reason I had a conflict. The first time I went, I'm like, this is really special. I mean, you know, these concours are starting to, and festivals are starting to show up more and more. And we all know about Amelia. We all know about Monterey, and many others that are quite lovely and wonderful. But this Chattanooga Motor Car Festival, it was like, first of all, I'd never been to Chattanooga.
Right.
And so I love the vibe of the city. And so I really fell in love with that. So then that was really cool. And then to see what the way Brian DeFore has put this together, it's a very, I know it's all about the cars. Okay. That's why people come. It's all about the cars. I get it. But these cars are freaking everywhere.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, but they're really cool. And there's certain special ones that'll show up that just, you blow your mind. But it's also about the people. And I think, to be able to gather the people that he has pulled together, part of it is because of his relationship with Jim Pace and, and the racers. I mean, other than Amelia Island, there's no other Concours that this many racers show up. And I know that maybe not a big draw for people. I don't know, because they're there primarily. Maybe they want to come because of the cars.
Sure.
But it's almost like we're going to have a reunion. When you could pull together David Hobbs, Brian Redman, Wayne Carini, Jochen Mast, you go on and on. I mean,
Linda Vaughn.
Tommy Kendall, Linda Vaughn. Yeah. I mean, everybody will come because of Linda Vaughn.
Absolutely.
So, you have store. I mean, we almost are just hanging out, having a good time, and everybody gets a chance to share it.
Absolutely.
And then to have it all benefit this Neuroscience Foundation, Innovation Foundation. So it's really for a good cause. I mean, everybody has a charity. I get that. All these events have charities.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is unique in itself as well. I mean, when I went to the one where they had the gala and the doctors got up and talked about it, and I mean, to be honest, the brain injuries and I had a girlfriend actually who hit a tree at a ski event,
right,
and ended up with a concussion and had to relearn how to walk and talk and eat and everything again. And I remember this was over 20 years ago,
right.
And I remember the doctor saying, "Lynn, we know so little about the brain." And so with all the research we do on cancer and other illnesses and other diseases and other injuries, the brain is still almost this untapped resource, and it's what makes us function. So to have that be the benefit of all the whatever funding comes in, whether it's sponsors, and then the tickets are $20.
$20, yeah, come on.
Give me a break, And
that's like a Kid Rock concert. He always goes cheap tickets, and gets everybody in.
Yeah, and because it's like, you just walk around the West Village. I mean,
it's awesome.
It's such an easy event to go to. All Concours and auto events are not easy. I mean,
no.
Sometimes you have to either walk forever, and the older I get, the more I worry about how much I have to walk at these events.
I hear you.
And so it's lovely.
And you're the Grand Marshal Emeriti, along with Brian Redman, Corky Coker, and Luigi Canetti Jr. David Hobbs this year is the Grand Marshal. Now, they're not doing the race this year. I think they're going to hold off a year for doing the race and try to figure that out. Is that what we...
Yeah, well, when I found out they were doing the race, and I went over there, and I mean, that was a real supreme effort to take, an area that was, I think, like an industrial area, and had some pathways through it and make a racetrack out of it. I mean, they did a great job, but it when you're running the old cars, there was just walls everywhere.
Right.
And it was a bit of a hodgepodge that I think created more challenges than it did enjoyment, and it was difficult to get to, even though I was like amazed that we were allowed to drive golf carts on the street to be able to get there, from the village.
Sure.
And so I was like, oh my God, we're in a golf cart driving deal.
Makes you feel like you're in a retirement community. So it's a wonderful place, and there's so many neat people, and just the bar at the Westin and that little lounge area that they have is just, you just see everybody that's anything in the car business. And like you said, it may not be famous to everybody, but for those of us in the car business, it's just cool to see, and everybody's relaxed and having a great time. I saw, John Oates was there, and was really just laid back and friendly and cool, and just, the way that you want to be able to meet somebody in an environment that they're comfortable in.
Right. No, we come back because we all had such a good time.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really, it is relaxed. It's authentic. I mean, it's the authentic passion for the cars, and it's authentic having a good time. And it's authentic benefit, something that is a little bit out of the box. It's not that I'm not criticizing the Boys and Girls Clubs and the other sure. charities, you know, that have been supported, because it's important that we support the communities. But it's just individual pieces that, of this puzzle mm-hmm. that make it very, very special. And I just love it. I actually love the event, and I love Chattanooga.
Yeah. Some things work just because sometimes they just all come together and have a vibe and a feel. You go into people's houses that you feel comfortable in right away. You know, yeah. there's all those. And of course, you know, involved in there is who we spoke about earlier, Judy Stropas, who is the one degree of separation is Judy Stropas from anybody who has anything to do with vehicles, engines, motors, whatever. It's her. Yep. And she's fantastic. I mean, she is. And she knows everybody. She goes, just follow me around. Come sit next to me. Well, I'll introduce you to everybody. You know, who you want on the show? I go, I don't know. Luigi Canetti Jr. She goes, done. Lynn St. James, done. David Hobbs, done.
Yeah. No, she's got her finger on the pulse, and she does know everybody, and she's a hoot.
One of the things about racing that I've always wondered why we don't have more of in the United States is karting, where all the kids in Europe do the karting before they do the Formula 3000 and Formula 1 and all that, and we don't really have much of that going on here. Is there a reason that we don't do that?
Don't get me started, Stuart.
darn it.
I mean, we have karting all over. The problem
right.
is it's not organized.
Right.
And so it is the pathway. It is the beginning and the stepping of the pathway to be able to get into the sport as a hobby or as a professional. And you're right. In Europe, it's very organized.
Right.
And, but here we have lots of different karting all over the country. It's just, it's not organized and it's not communicated very well. I mean, there are fun carts. You know, I remember I forget what they called the Grand Prix, you know, that it was just, in other words, sometimes it's just for fun and that's fine.
Malibu Grand Prix.
Malibu Grand Prix.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Those were great.
There's these concession carts. And so then if somebody has had that experience, that's their image now of what they think karting is.
Right.
And then there's the serious carters, like there's the quarter midgets as well for youth. And that's the other thing. I didn't start karting until Brian Redman told me that that was a great way to be able to feel. I'm serious.
Wow.
I was living in Ormond by the Sea. You know, Brian lives up outside of Jacksonville.
Right.
And there's a kart track in Jacksonville. And I use that as a training in between my Indy 500 races.
Wow.
And Brian is who then opened me up to that. And, you know, I didn't know that there was serious karting for adults as well as for kids. So karting exists, but it's not organized. Everybody has their own little fiefdoms of karting. And so we are missing an opportunity to have a proper ladder and to have a proper organization of how to work your way into motorsports. Because we don't have organized karting.
Well, more than likely why there's not many Americans that actually participate in Formula One, which is not the end all. I mean, I love IndyCar as much as I like Formula One, but, certainly it's considered the pinnacle of the hobby sport, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it's interesting.
Part of that though, is that karting is critical to get, if you're going to become a serious racer. But the other part of the issue, I think, Formula One is because even though we now have three races in this country, most of them are outside the country, and you have to race in Europe to be able to learn those tracks. If you run Formula 2, Formula 3, you learn the same tracks that they run the Formula 1 cars on, and that's why the F1 Academy that they have now is so important, because these gals are getting experience on the race tracks that ultimately they would race if they ever got to Formula 1.
So, sure.
Really, even though with simulators, you can learn tracks. We didn't have those back in my day. simulators will help you learn tracks. But at the same time, if you've never raced anything on that track, it really puts you at a disadvantage.
Sure. And I think that you see all those kids who've been racing since they were 4 years old. A little bit of an advantage. And, of course, you know, but it's interesting that Max Verstappen is not the world champion in sim racing or online racing. There's a kid in his mama's basement that's probably beaten Max Verstappen because he understands the computer part of it more, maybe, or there's something different. The dynamics of it make it a little different.
Yeah. Well, our brains work. There's certain brains that just talk about neuroscience that just are totally adaptable to, you know, to a sim experience.
Sure.
Versus having their butt in the seat and then having the pressure.
And generally don't get killed in a sim racing accident.
Hit restart.
And, And how hot is it when you're in Nomex in a driver's suit and gloves and a helmet and it's 900 degrees outside? That's got to be, I don't mean miserable, but miserable.
Well, you're so busy you don't realize it till it's over.
Really? That's interesting. I never really thought of it that way. But yeah, you're in there to do your job, and whatever happens,
well,
happens.
It consumes everything. That job consumes every bit of your mental capacity. And so your mental capacity is executing what you're doing. And so environment and pain, you know, you could be sick and all of a sudden you're not sick because you can't think about being sick.
Right.
Your body is consumed with something else.
Sure.
So whatever it is. So, you know, it's the most meditative, iconic experience of consumption of mental and physical energy that I've ever done. And I think that exists, to be honest. I mean, I know there's similarities that people talk about, whether it's being an astronaut or being, I don't know, jet pilots or,
right.
But I'm not either one of those, so I can't speak to that. But I can speak to the experience of being a race car driver and the consumption of your mental and physical energy, because you're giving everything you've got in both cases, which puts everything else out. There's nothing left.
Right.
Think about or to do, you know.
Well, and when you go, you did 237 at, was that Talladega? Was that, where did you go with the close? I've read that somewhere. Maybe I got
No, that wasn't quite that fast. my average at Talladega was 212. My average at Indy, my average one lap average speed at Indy was 225.
Wow.
My top speed at Indy was 232.
I mean, ever dream of going that fast? Do you ever think about when you were in those carts and thinking about, you know, when you're going 40 or 50 or 60, and that seems like as fast as you could ever go, and then here you are doing 230-something miles an hour at Indy.
Yeah, it's a number, actually. We really don't have speedometers, so if you don't know at the time.
Right. Right.
You know, we could peak down at Indy and the front straightaway to see, but it's really based on RPM. I mean,
sure.
In other words, if you can see your RPM and that's, even though you're not translating it at the time to speed, you know, if you know that if you're at, you know, 14,000 RPM and you get to 14.1 or you 13.9, you know, you've known you've just
sure.
Come slower and faster than you did the lap before. So,
well, some racers, they can literally slow themselves down. And you always wondered how they could do that, but they base it on the RPM, not a speedometer, that yeah. if they need to trim down a second or two or per lap for whatever reason to save tires.
You'll save it. Yeah, you'll save it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. We will be back visiting with Lynn St. James and learn some more about her history in the racing world in a couple of minutes.
Are you bored with your commute? Listless in your lane, and you don't even have the get up and go on green? 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Classic Auto Mall to cure the common drive. The Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, PA is a veritable classic car supermarket with classics of all prices, types, and years. So if you need a cure for the common drive, check out Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown or ClassicAutoMall.com. Side effects include not wanting to come home, going to car hop drive-ins, grease under your fingernails, old car smell, and bias.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, 4 issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than 6 decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE, or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the americasbroadcastnetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, with our friend Lynn St. James, racer, coach, mentor, speaker, ambassador, pioneer. We're supposed to be quitting, but I'm not going to stop talking. So do you do much historic racing? I see you. Is that you in the Bugatti behind us?
It is. Yeah, that was at Monterey. I came back to life again a number of years ago, probably 10 years ago. I was asked to go to be a grand marshal at a vintage race in California, and they wanted me there for 4 days, do media, blah, 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 and, you know, not pay me anything. But first of all, if I'm at a racetrack and I'm not driving and I'm there for more than, you know, a few hours, I'm going to be a pain in the butt, and right. You're not going to want me around. And so that doesn't work for me. But I said, if you give me something to drive, I'll just have some fun and I'll be a happy person and I'll do for you. So I did, and they gave me a Formula Atlantic. It was a 1976 Chevron B39 nice. Formula Atlantic car, which was a car that I remember watching Ray Hall in that Formula Atlantic series back in the 70s. And right. I used to say, oh, God, someday I want to be able to drive a car like that. And it only took me, 30 or 40 years right. to do that. And it just turned out I had a blast. And the guy that had owned the car, it was a trainer that he was no longer using, and so he let me race it. So I raced that car, and then I got to race some other cars. So I did the vintage racing for almost 10 years.
Right.
Had absolutely, it just brought me back to life. It was fantastic.
Sure.
And then I had a really bad crash at Indy in a vintage race in an old Corvette in 2019.
Right.
And it, quite frankly, hurt me pretty bad. And, you know, I mean, I had serious enough injury that I could walk away, but at the same time, you know, I'm just not the same. So I'm like, you know, this is okay.
Yeah.
I got to stop at some time. I think this is it.
Yeah, the wake-up calls kind of suck sometimes, don't they?
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, and tell me about the Pinto in the pond.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. Did I bring...
Stuart, I love the fact that you knew about the Sanyo Corvette. I love the fact that you knew about me running the swap, Ferrari Daytona at Preston Hens. Not the God's Pinto. When I did Amelia, was honored at Amelia, which was an unbelievable honor.
Sure.
And I still... And Bill Warner will, by the way, also be at Chattanooga.
Yeah, absolutely.
I continue to remind him. I said, it's your fault. It seems like you pulled me out of the woodwork after, you know, I was honored at Amelia. But I remember him saying, I've got all of your cars, but I can't get the Pinto. I said, Bill, I will kill you if you get the Pinto. I don't need that Pinto ever to be in my life again. But it was my first race car. It was my street car that I drove back and forth at work. Went to driver's school in it, and my very first race after driver's school down at Palm Beach International Raceway, PBIR.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was trying to remember everything that I had gone through driver's school to know, but the one thing I really wasn't paying enough attention to was watching my mirrors. And so, the overall leader came around to pass me, and it caught me off guard, and I lost control of the car.
Right.
And I spun, and I ended up in this, what I thought was just a little pond. If anybody been there, they know there was water a lot around Palm Beach International Raceway.
Yes.
The bad was were the canals on the back straightaway. But there was a pond in between turns 2, 3, and 4 in the infield area, and the car totally. I ended up there, and the car totally submerged.
Oh,
I got out,
wow.
And the car. I turned around, and I just saw the car go bloom.
Oh,
it was like quicksand, you know. And
oh.
And so we had to pull it out at the end of the day. So it sat there for the rest of the day, and the divers. It was the entertainment of the evening was to watch the divers go down and pull the car out. And I remember standing there next to a guy with my, you know, t-shirt and shorts and t-shirt on, drinking a beer. And I remember the guy saying, "So who's driving that car?" And I said, "I don't know."
I don't have any idea.
I had a number on the car, but I didn't have my name on the car. So anyway, that was my debut in racing.
Hey, so. Don't feel bad. I put my new boat in the water the other day, and then I took it out of the trailer and left the motor running while we drug it out of the water, and the prop's still spinning. So. you know, we, whoops. My wife said, you've done this before, haven't you? She's never really been around boating. So, who, in your opinion, there's a lot of great drivers that aren't as well known as some of the other ones out there. One comes to mind, Danny Ungaius, who was a great, IndyCar driver back in the day. Who else was not really known as well that was really good at it?
Oh God. I've never been asked that. And there's a long list. I mean, the roster, cause there's some really excellent, I mean, I think Scotty Brayton probably comes to mind.
Sure.
You know, he was such a good kid and just such a good kid.
I mean,
happy, smiling. But I remember when I was the pace car driver, part of the PPG pace car team, and Scott, he didn't have a ride. And, you know, I mean, he was just always bubbly, but always just trying to get a ride, you know.
Sure.
And then when he did, and, you know, he did so well. And I mean, it broke. It really, that was probably his death during practice at Indy, after he sat on the pole. It broke me for a while. I couldn't get back in the car that day. And so I think he's probably one that comes to mind.
Right.
As super, just really underrated, super talented, never was able to put a real solid career together.
Sure.
And just super nice guy.
Right. And you know, nice guys don't finish first or whatever they say. And I don't always buy that because I know a lot of nice guys who have done very well for themselves. So.
I know a few.
Yeah, maybe not a lot. Maybe I was exaggerating when I said a lot. And you were talking about Monterey. Do you watch any of the auctions? Do you pay attention to that world at all?
I do a little bit. I hate to say it this way, but it's so loud and,
right.
and confusing. I know, and it's sort of like, but I mean, when I'm at a racetrack, I know what's going on. You know what the loud is for. Yeah, exactly. And it speaks to me, you know, but the auctions are just, it's chaotic.
Yeah, it is organized chaos.
Yeah, and so, but it is interesting. So, but I remember at Meekup used to be at Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And I guess they're not there this year. I heard that, I think it's, Broad
Arrow. They're going to be there. They're a curated 100 car collection. They're like an RM or a Gooding or a Bonhams. They do those higher end auctions, which will be interesting. It'll be a different for the crowd that may not understand or know that type of English style of auctioneering versus the a little bit different animal. But, you know, in the overall scheme of things, probably a good choice for Chattanooga to have that. It kind of makes it a little more upscale. Meekup's a little more every guy's auction with lots of Camaros and Mustangs and Corvettes. And you don't see quite as many of those in the higher end auction houses.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, racing. There's all these different types of racing and categories. I think it's the same with the auctions. They all have their own sort of niche or their own market of what they do. But it is still amazing how many cars are still really out there.
Wow.
And they transfer from one person to another. And, you know, so it's a whole other genre of the automotive world.
Sure.
And the collector aspect. And I know that's probably more your audience because
sure.
You happen to have some, I think from what I hear, where you are.
Quite a few cars. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
940.
You know, I remember, my first husband, John was, I never understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand. And I remember a lot of that was like trying to find a race car or buy a race car. And there really weren't a lot of auctions back in the 70s.
No.
And then you would see what we would call them, you know, the sit box. And,
right.
and I remember him saying, Lynn, there's an owner for everything out there.
Well, there's a butt for every seat, as we like to say.
Yeah.
So we had Luigi Canetti last week, and he's a character. Oh, my goodness.
He is.
Oh, wow.
It was so funny. At Chattanooga, you know, we see each other at these events, right? Yeah. And we were in the lobby of the Westin at Chattanooga. And I don't know. He said something to me or gave me a kiss on the cheek or whatever. And somehow the conversation came up. Oh, I know. I had an injury on my arm.
Right.
And he goes, well, what happened there? And I said, it's funny because I had to go to the dermatologist and he wanted to know what happened there. And so I told him, I said, so I was going down the back straightaway of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in this car and Mario Andretti was next to me. I swear to God, this is the truth. And because it was the exhibition lap before the start of the Indy 500. And I was driving this race car, this old race car, and Mario was kind of behind me, but next to me. And I was trying to get him to come up so that we could go down the back straightaway together. I'm like, I'm on the race track of Mario Andretti, you know? And I put my arm out and started waving for him to come on up. And the rear wheel of the car was right there. I'm used to it being way somewhere else, you know? And it tore the skin off my arm, and I didn't even feel it. I didn't know it, and I'm bleeding like crazy. And when I came down pit lane, and they said, "What happened to you? What happened to you?" What are you talking about? I have all this blood everywhere.
Oh, my God.
So I'm calling the dermatologist this. And he looks at me like, "What do you do?" I told him what I did. But Luigi said, "You have to start every conversation with, well, I was driving down the back straightaway."
That trumps every other conversation there is.
I said, Luigi was so cute.
Oh, great guy. So my last question to you is, drum roll please. What's your daily driver?
Well, I have a 2023 Kia GT, Stinger GT.
Oh, I love those. I drove one of those not too long ago. I was blown away.
Second one. Yeah, I had a 19 and then I got a 23, and it's the perfect road car.
Right.
Because it handles really well. It's got great power because it's got options, but you know, you put it in, but it actually gets really good mileage.
Right.
And I primarily got it because I'm a grandma now and I wanted to be able to put car seats, kid seats in the back.
I hear you completely. Yeah. What'd you drive in high school?
Well, I didn't have a car in high school. I drove my family car.
Right.
And my mom had, we had a beautiful Bonneville convertible.
Oh,
my
nice.
Very first car that I bought after I got out of high school for my first job, I bought a 1967 Pontiac Catalina 2+2.
Oh, man, I'm a Pontiac guy. I love Pontiacs. They were the best driving cars and had power and classy. And
but I see them now at the auction.
Yeah.
So big. I don't remember being that big back then.
And why are garages from the 70s so small, but the cars were so daggum big? I don't get that.
I went to the auto show at Cobble Hall, you know, in Detroit.
For sure.
Cobble Hall with the dealers from the Pontiac Miller in Willoughby, Ohio, because they were talking about it. I was looking at their cars, and they were talking about going to Detroit for the Cobble Hall for the auto show. And I said, "Can I go with you?"
Sure.
This is the second time I've done that, I went to the Indy 500 the first time with the guys from the gas station.
Sure.
I went to the Detroit Auto Show with the guys from the Pontiac dealer, and I saw that Pontiac Catalina 2+2 Plum on one of those platforms going around. You know? And I said, "That's the car I'm going to order." And they're like, "That's not a proper car for a young lady." Like, "That's the car I'm going to order."
Well, that explains, now you're explaining a lot. We get it now. We get the path that now you've gone down. Lynn, it was so wonderful having you on. I only have 12 other pages of notes, so you know, I guess we'll have to do this again. And I'll definitely,
it was fun.
Yeah. And I'll definitely see you in Chattanooga.
I just have to tell you, I went to Indy for about 20 years with my friends from Buffalo, and I was at all of your races. And I even drew you 1 year in our pool to win, so you even had that extra.
When people tell me that, I go, "I'm sorry, I tried really hard, I swear."
That extra shrieking had me cheering. You could probably hear it.
Thanks so much. We'll see you in Chattanooga. And thanks again. We really appreciate it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you want to see exciting fish, insects, and reptiles, you'll want to visit the Classic Auto Mall. Where else can you see hornets, honeybees, super bees, living in peace and harmony with stingrays, barracudas, tiburon, which means sharks, cobras, and vipers, as well as beetles. And we don't mean the band. So if you come to Classic Auto Mall, you can see everything there is to see for free, and we won't bug you.
Come visit us at Classic Auto Mall. See our website for hours and location, classicautomall.com.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. What a great guest. We have gotten some, really had some great guests on lately. It's really been fun. And She was, we could talk for hours.
Oh, yeah. She's got all kinds of stories.
She's got great stories. Yep. And of course, and we do our homework. We know what we're talking about.
Well, you do. You do.
Well, I like I don't have anything else.
I forgot to turn the light on.
Well, barely show 156. What percentage of 156 shows do we think that Steve actually remembered to turn the light on? 100th?
Hey, now.
Hey, now.
Hey, now.
Beats
hey,
me.
Now.
I'm,
hey,
like man. I'm at zero. I always forget. It's in the next room.
So let's talk about where we sold cars last week, and then we'll talk about something else.
Because we've got a great map on YouTube, so if you catch the show on YouTube, you'll be able to see where the cars went to.
Yeah. How about Reading, Pennsylvania? Well, that's pretty close. Glenside, Pennsylvania. Holbrook, New Jersey. Muskegon, Michigan. El Cajon, California. Coatesville, Pennsylvania. Durham, New Hampshire. Winchester, Virginia. Upper Southampton, Pennsylvania. That's a long one. Bruning, Nebraska. Wayne, Pennsylvania. Wilmington, Delaware. Yardville, New Jersey. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Media, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Muskegon. I used to work there. It was my first top 40 radio
show. Hello, Cleveland.
WTRU, 1600 AM.
My son, Marshall, when he was about 7 years old, his Aunt Pam Tillis had all the grandkids and the kids, or not her grandkids, but kids, her nieces and nephews on one of her albums. And when they were started out, and they said, "Way to go, Granddad." And it was a tribute to Mel Tillis. Mm-hmm. This is going to be long. I'm sorry. Damn it. What
it already start is, this? Frankly.
Look at the time. And so all the nieces and nephews were on this one song, and it was a tribute to Mel Tillis. And they opened up with "Way to go, Granddad," all the kids. And then Marshall said, "Good night, Cleveland." And they left it in on the recording, and it's hilarious. Okay. And every time I even hear that or think about it, it just makes me
legendary.
Smile. Yeah, very legendary. Marshall heard that maybe from me a few times, possibly. Anywho, new arrivals this past few weeks, we'll say, since we kind of missed it last week. Mm-hmm. How about the 2019 Ford Mustang GT California Special Convertible?
Yeah.
Kona Blue is a great color on a Mustang.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, I thought you were going to go
I did a whole, I think I did a TikTok on just the, we had three or four Kona Blues lined up all together. Different,
for
different
some reason.
Variety.
Yeah. And a great car. It's 5,842 actual miles. Mm. So it's past the 5,000 hump barrier.
So. Yeah, it's a weekend car.
Yeah, so it's a weekend car. 435 horse, 5-liter Coyote V8. This thing is showroom fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Getrag MT82 6-speed manual and an active exhaust.
Right, which I guess has a gate.
I think it has got some kind of gate that'll open and close and making it active.
But did it get its 5,000-mile service? That's what we want.
Well, we don't know that. We'll have to find that out. We'll ask our peoples. How about other new arrival, the 1966 Volvo P1800S Coupe, graphite gray over black. This thing's got lots of receipts and maintenance records, known history from new. The 1,778cc inline four with a four-speed with overdrive, which is very handy. Because those things needed an extra gear. They don't, fourth gears, you're wanting another.
P1800s are off the charts with desirability and value. They don't last long here.
I saw a resto mod one the other day.
Oh, really?
And I'm not a big, huge, messer of things like that, but it was cool.
Yeah.
It was really well done. And there's certain resto mods that I like. Mm-hmm. I don't like just the everyday resto mod. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that even means, but I like ones that are unique, oddball.
That's
one. P1800, something like that. We're getting a Toyota Corolla resto mod today.
Wow.
That's red, and it's really cool, and I can't wait to see it. It's supposed to be here anytime now, so I'm looking forward to it. Other new arrivals, the 1940 Chevrolet Special Deluxe Woody Station Wagon, Ridge Green Metallic over black, 75,000 actual miles, fully documented restoration, and the woodwork on this thing is... it is crazy. The level of detail that these people go to restore these cars is off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
How about the 1977 Pontiac Firebird Trans Am, Starlight Black over buckskin. This one's 48,000 actual miles, two owners from new.
Wow.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Numbers matching 400 L78 and a numbers matching turbo hydromatic 350 automatic. Wonder why they didn't do the
plus tax.
Wonder why they didn't do the turbo hydromatic 400 instead of the 350.
Don't know.
I wonder if that was a cheaper option back in the day.
Probably.
No. When that happens, I'm not quite sure where it's going. I'm ready to look around
in
my head. Is that, did I say that?
Don't.
How about the 1970 Chevrolet Camaro Z28? It's another dark blue, metallic car. Real deal Z28. It's got a rebuilt 350. probably not the original motor. I don't believe. Mm-hmm. But it's got a rebuilt Muncie M20 and the 10-bolt axle. An overall solid skate.
Yes.
That's our new favorite word, isn't it?
I don't personally use it, but it ends up in some of the...
It somehow comes to be. How about the 1963 Studebaker Gran Turismo Hawk R1 Coupe? Just 289 cubic inch V8, BorgWarner 4-speed.
Yeah.
This thing is cool.
Oh, yeah. This is nice.
I mean, this is like the Pontiacs of the day. It's kind of muscle and classy at the same time.
Exactly. I think I saw it when it came in last week or something.
Yeah. Really just a cool car.
It is.
So did we ever, we didn't decide on the boat name, but we are going to, anybody that sent in a name, we're going to send them a hat. So I'm going to reach out to everybody that sent in the name.
Hey, now.
We still haven't come up with one, and we don't know if we're not just going to call it the Classic Automall for a little write-off. No, I don't know.
So you took it out onto the lake with no name.
No name on it.
Oh, wow.
And
nameless.
False registration.
I had another one, but I can't enter. Anchorman.
Anchorman.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, I like that.
Although I have to give credit, I did steal that from Dan Patrick.
So. Oh.
Yeah, that's all right. He's got a pretty cool show.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, he's not too shabby.
Shout out.
So, yeah, we went out on Blue Marsh Lake, and we did great. Kathy backed the trailer down a little bit and parked it and did her part of it, and I did my part of it, and we pulled the boat out, and then I got out, and we were partially on the trailer, and I hooked up the hook to the front, and then I jammed it into gear because you got to jam it to get up on that trailer.
Yeah.
And so proud of myself and got up there and made sure that was all tightened down and everything.
And you're done.
And had, yeah, done. Well. Had Kathy pull out, and only to realize that I'd left the motor running and it was in gear. And the prop was still. And thank God nobody was injured in this story.
Yes.
And God, how stupid did I feel?
Does it have some kind of safety where it senses air instead of water and shuts off?
Yeah, Steve, it has that. No.
Oh, you didn't buy the one with the sensor in it?
Is that an option?
I don't know. I would think they would stop the propeller.
No. Well,
but that is a good question, because if you flew an airplane into the water, the engine would stop. The propeller would quit. Yeah.
Well, so we were going to talk about the Mustang sales brochure, but I forgot to print it out. But there is the coolest Mustang sales brochure. We'll talk about it next week, I promise.
That's a good one.
We talked about all the slogans that they had.
Yeah,
that's right. Great slogans and great little taglines and little kitschy things that are, you know, funny. They were kind of, it reminded me of the Burma Shave signs, you know, where you, you know, which I wasn't around, by the way, when those were around, but I'm familiar with them.
Right.
And of course they would just have this little story they would tell over four or five signs. If you weren't familiar with it, Randy, this is your cue. and it was really cool. But, if you, and some of the art they did, especially, the ad agency Fitzgerald something that did the Pontiac ads that were drawing paintings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had the cool looking guy with the sweater around and tied around his neck and the hot girl and they had the tennis rackets and the yacht in the back.
Well, referring back to Lynn St. James Pinto in a pond, I remember one of my favorite Volkswagen ads showed a Volkswagen bug in the water and it said it could definitely float. It couldn't float indefinitely.
Right. That's good.
That's great. And they, remember, I mean, you close a Volkswagen Beetle hardtop, and that thing is like,
I mean,
you're in a cocoon. And
airtight.
No getting out.
Yeah.
You know,
and they really did float.
They did float, I guess. I don't know. Did the Amphicar float? We didn't test that.
So did you have a favorite name for the boats that came in that maybe it still isn't the winner that you're going to point on? Or?
I loved.
Bodie McBothing.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. I love Pond Pontiac was really
Pond
great.
Pontiac.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
You could go Pond Poncho and then be a little more subtle.
Howden's Hull is pretty good. That sounds kind of cool and very swanky. Cirrhosis of the Rivers or Sloop Doggy Dog.
Yeah.
That was pretty
good. That's funny.
And the Toy Ahoy was one of the best ones that came in from people sending them in to us. That was a great one. So that was good.
Very good.
And well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
Anchorman, though, I'm kind of digging that too.
That is good.
So, you know, there's a lot of good ones and, hopefully, we'll either come up with some great name other than one of those, or we'll just never name it.
Yeah.
Just never worry about it.
So. Just be under the radar.
Yeah. So catch us on all the sites. Where are we?
Apple, Spotify. Buzz, just go to Buzzsprout. That's our preferred carrier.
Yeah, or ClassicAutoMall.com. We have a podcast link. It'll take you right there.
That's true.
But we are on all of them. In fact, it's right here, but I can't get it out because my computer's sitting on it.
And
listen to this. iHeartRadio, that's our biggest one. Most people listen to us there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podcast Index, Podcast Addict. In fact, Google Podcast is now YouTube Music. They switched.
Huh?
TuneIn and Amazon Music, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Deezer, Listen Notes, Player FM, Google Assistant. I mean, and that's the great thing at home. If you have Alexa or Google, ask it to play Classic Auto Mall, and it will play.
That's awesome.
That was a good stretch, by the way.
Yeah. That's what we got to do.
We got to stretch sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Anyway, next week is Porsche. Porsche just wrote a book about Porsche. Jay Gelati is going to be on our show from one of our dear friends. We've had some great racing giants.
Really have. Yeah.
Lynn St. James. I mean, how cool is that?
She was legend.
Just so fantastic.
Yeah.
And fun to talk
pioneer.
To. And a pioneer. And just, I love how she just went to the Daytona 24-hour race and said, oh, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then said, husband, go home. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay and watch the races.
So
I mean,
cool.
How major cool.
And not ashamed to get in a go-kart.
No,
when
no.
It wasn't done.
No, it wasn't
especially
done at all.
For, and let's say it, especially for a woman back in that time.
And I used to love the Malibu Grand Prix. They had them all over California.
Yeah, they did.
And that was a real treat on a Friday night. My
definitely.
My girlfriend at the time, we'd go down to the Malibu Grand Prix, and I'm sure she hated it, but I was in heaven. You know,
yeah,
an open-wheeled race car. It's like a mini Indy car.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they would go about 40, which doesn't sound fast, but on a tight, closed little track, it's pretty quick. Most go-karts that you go to in Pigeon Forge or Myrtle Beach or whatever probably do 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and, you know, you're going fast and you bump with a NASCAR or something. You got fenders on you.
Mm-hmm.
You got an open-wheel, open-cockpit car with guys doing, guys and women now, doing 239 miles. And you touch wheels, it becomes an airplane.
You got a nice little electric place by us in Oaks.
Oh, do? Nice, oh, yeah, nice we do. Indoor electric. Place.
That's right.
Yeah, it's called Arnold's.
Arnold's, that's right.
We were at the track Monticello in New York, and they had a kart track, and these karts were fast.
Oh, yeah.
And the track was, and these kids were competitive. It was like 10-year-old kids, like, get out of my way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the old man here.
Those are $10,000
karts. I was worn out when we were done. I was sweating. I had that helmet on. I could barely see. My back was hurt.
And then you got in the car.
And then I got in the car.
Yeah, thank you.
And it was intense. It was way intense. What a cool track, though, is Monticello. It's been 4 or 5 years since we were up there. We did a sponsorship deal with them.
Oh, nice.
There one time. Yeah. But,
awesome.
And there's a track close to us here, too, in Jersey.
New Jersey Sports Park.
There you go. There you go.
Motorsports.
You can rent a Lamborghini or a Ferrari.
You can bring your own car on some open days.
Like, yeah, bring your own car.
Mm-hmm.
How fun would that be?
It would be great.
Yeah.
We should do a whole staff outing. just the podcast staff.
You know, when I was with eBay, we did the auction in Scottsdale, where we were just talking to Lynn. From.
Yeah.
I didn't know about it. So Sunday they said, oh, by the way, tomorrow we're going to Bondurant. And we're all going to get to drive, and whoever gets the fastest lap time gets an instructor shirt and da 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 da. I'm like, oh my God, this is on my bucket list. I'm freaking out. This is so cool. So we go, and there's like 150 of us, some of our best customers from eBay crews and some of our executives, and I had fastest lap time.
Ooh.
I got the shirt from Mr.
Nice.
Bondurant.
Wow.
Randy, I'll get you a copy of that. You can post that today. But I'm so cool. I had the fastest lap time because and the guy that was riding with me was from Chicago. I don't even think he owned a car. And he was like, Stuart, slow down.
It's tough being in the passenger.
Yeah. Oh, it was not pleasant. And I was on
on
a mission.
You're focused.
So then we're hanging out by the track, the full track. This was the autocross track with the Mustangs. We're hanging on the full track with the really race prepared Mustangs.
Mm.
And you take a ride with one of the instructors and you don't even know how they're going so fast around these corners that there's no way. And then the old man, Bondurant, at the time was still alive. This was 2001, came out and said, who wants to do a few laps with me? Well, I raised my hand first and edged everybody out and jumped in.
Nice.
And as the instructors all got, clear the track. The old man's coming out. You know, everybody get out of the way. Here he comes. And I'm thinking, if I die out here, and would you know, what a cool way to go.
It'll be make the news.
Motorsports legend Bob Bondurant
and some guy.
An unidentified passenger were killed in a barrel roll down turn 8 at there was one turn where you came over and it completely the tires were barely touching the ground and there was a sharp 90-degree right and somehow without any way to think that it could happen. They turned.
It's amazing.
Somehow turned. I've told this story.
Oh, hundreds of times, but we love it. We love it every time.
Yeah, it just made me feel good.
We love Bondurant.
But did you turn into Henry Ford II in Ford versus Ferrari and start crying?
No, I did not. I did not cry. With him, it was great. Although it was funny through the air vents, like rubber was coming through and it was getting on your face.
That's awesome.
It was those instructors were amazing. They're like fighter pilots, man. These guys are just, they're the coolest of the cool. And just, you know, there's no swagger to them. They just walk up and go, you want to go for a ride? And we're going to go fast. And you're going around these corners and it's like, there's no way this car is going to hold on, but yet it does.
Yeah.
Have I stretched enough here?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Okay. We'll catch you next time on the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit pattravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.